Good evening. It's nice to see faces on a day when social distancing has become a household word in America, or a household phrase. How many of you have heard of the term social distancing before a few months ago? Okay, a couple of you, but most did not raise their hand. You know, there's been a lot of changes in the world since this virus was passed from a bat being consumed in Wuhan, China, to a human, and then spread quickly from human to human until it has now encircled the globe. And, you know, a lot of, some people have wondered about this quarantine thing. Some have even mentioned that could this all be a government conspiracy just to give an excuse for governments to control people? And I think this was answered aptly by our pastor, who's not in attendance here this evening. He's social distancing with his family. But I'd like to just have you listen to what he had to say this morning. I actually walked by when this was happening. I didn't realize what he was saying at that time, but it came to me just a few minutes ago. And let's take a look at this.
In times of stress and anxiety, people are given to be more open to conspiracy theories. The other day I was talking to someone in the community as a result of the shutdown, and they'd been in their home for 5 or 6 days and they were worried to come out. And you know, I began thinking, is there anything that old book says about quarantine, about being put aside because we're worried about disease? And then I remember that ancient book of Leviticus, where God's rules concerning who could come into the camp and out of the camp and how he would take care of sin, but also sanitation and public health issues. I remember that book, and I looked and I began to read chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15. And I saw something that really gave me great peace. You know what it was? Quarantine didn't begin with our government. It began with God. When he saw that there was a problem, he protected his people by taking those that maybe had a disease or maybe had a sickness and keeping them outside the camp, first of all, for 7 days. Then they were rechecked, and then another 7 days. And this was all done by the priests, who were also the physicians of the day. And a calm came over me because I realized that these same procedures, these same ideas that we're seeing today that are meant to protect us, were something that was originated by God himself. You know, as a Christian, I'm called to be a priest, the priesthood of all believers. We could all act in that way, bringing protection when it's needed, not to separate one another for all time, but maybe just for a short time until we get healthy. And we can come back again as a congregation and come together and praise because we took the precautions we needed. And that just ministered to my heart, and I hope it does yours too.
So it is a reminder, you might want to get those verses out, that quarantines have been around for a long time, and they are for our own good. And by following the recommendations, as we recommend everyone do here at Weimar as well, we're actually making the world a healthier place, and we might also be protected from disease. I know even though COVID has not really hit this community, at least on an exponential level yet, it can, and it's even affecting some younger people in Sacramento, not too far away from here. I know there's critically ill people in their 30s in intensive care units down there, and communicating with hospitalists which I also am. And they're starting to see the exponential rise there. And what we're doing can indeed protect the community. So I also realize that this, what has happened the last couple of weeks, when there's a time of crisis, we can start to realize what the priorities are, what our own priorities are. And this crisis that has hit this country, and in a large way, it's an impending crisis, because in reality, the flu has killed far more people than COVID-19 at this point. And I hope it stays that way. But if we don't do the right things, this has the potential to way outdo the flu. But because of this pending crisis and the knowledge that we have of it, we have been able to see what at least this country's priorities are. And some may have considered prior to this that competitive sports was like at the top of the list of priorities in America. And, you know, you might be tempted to think that because whenever you turn on a TV, there's some competitive sporting event going on. I was working in the hospital the other day, and this guy was trying to entertain himself by trying to find sports. There was no sports going on. Not one game being played in America. The ESPN channel, I was thinking maybe they ought to just go and see a chess match where they're 6 feet apart or something, you know. And, you know, do social distancing. My son, who's a tennis player and a golfer, says those are the two sports that you can still play and have social distancing. And they've even made rules locally here that you can actually rent a golf cart all by yourself for the same price now so that you can isolate on the golf course and still be out in nature. But clearly, sports is not a top priority because they canceled all the sports. They canceled the championships. They canceled March Madness. They canceled Major League Baseball. They canceled all of these sports. And they even canceled tennis matches. And, you know, we just said tennis could be played, but you can't watch the tennis matches with social distancing. And so those had to be canceled as well. And so competitive sports, we find out, not really a top priority in America. It's kind of, some people might manipulate it into us thinking that, but when a crisis came, we realized it wasn't number one. We might also think that in America especially, because it's been criticized now for a long time in regards to what many consider an evil word, capitalism, that economic prosperity is actually the real number one priority in America. We found out that wasn't even true. We're actually voluntarily going in to a significant depression. The stock market has fallen dramatically as a result of social distancing, businesses closing, all the non-essential businesses in California have closed. And there is clearly, when it comes to priorities, economic prosperity was not up there to compete with this priority. And so you might think, well, you know, there were other priorities of America. You know, what about freedom? Freedom to travel to beautiful locations. Well, even that turns out is not a top priority. Travel has been restricted. You can't even go to one of the most beautiful countries in the world, New Zealand. Banned. And hopefully some of you are watching from New Zealand here today. In fact, some of our students left this week to New Zealand before it closed. And of course, a lot of other students left as well. We're sad that they left, but we're glad that they had an option to continue their education and still leave. In fact, I was looking at a blog, since I'm on the Chronicle list, which is a magazine that a lot of college presidents get throughout the nation. I started to see a blog from the Chronicle of students bitterly complaining about what is happening in America. Because they said, you know, here we were working towards these things, and without any choice of ours, we were told we had to leave. We were told we had to do this, that, and the other. Weimar being a small school, there were options that were given in regards to this. And the students that were complaining in the Chronicle were complaining that how come virtually no school was giving options? It was just mandates in regards to how to obtain their education. And by the way, we found out face-to-face education, which most educators still state today is the best way to be educated in a live environment where there's a classroom and a discussion, face-to-face was not a top priority in this country compared to this priority. Now, education was still a priority because the government said that they want to continue education, if at all possible, at a distance learning. And even we could call this distance learning even here tonight because of the fact that you have to be at least 6 feet away from me. And we are spread out, but this is still the face-to-face aspect of things. But education is enough of a priority that it was put on the list of essentials in the Placer County document that people are allowed to travel if they need to for distance education. In other words, if they don't have access to an internet and they need to travel for that access, that's an appropriate traveling aspect, and you won't violate the travel ban. So freedom to move about at will, freedom to do what we want to do whenever we do it, that's not a top priority. Even concerts, canceled, not a top priority. Meetings and convention centers, shut down, not a top priority. Partying, not a top priority. And so this crisis has revealed what is the top priority. What would you say America's top priority is, as a at least by evidence of what has taken place here?
Toilet paper.
Okay. Somebody said some Americans' priorities are toilet paper. And someone sent me, of course I work in the GI field, but somebody sent me that if you need 144 rolls of toilet paper for a 14-day quarantine, you should have been seeing a doctor long before COVID-19. There were other issues that you should not have been putting on hold until this time. But nonetheless, yes, there are a lot of shortages of different things. And of course, there are businesses that have profited from this quarantine. Anyone hear what some of the businesses are that have significantly profited outside of the toilet paper industry?
Lysol.
Yeah, Lysol. Things having to do with cleanliness, hand sanitizers. But another big one, stock went up tremendously, FedEx. Why FedEx? People can't go to stores and shop. They have to shop online, and that has to be delivered. And so the FedEx and the UPS ones are maxed out. American Airlines and United are not maxed out. They're cutting down their flights, but all the ones dealing with packages have increased their flights. And so it is in regards to how businesses operate and take, they have their ups and downs that are unpredictable based on things that have occurred. But I think I heard it over here. What was even more of a priority than getting packages shipped to your house direct from your computer screen or toilet paper? Life. Do you think that should be a top priority? Absolutely it should be. It was a top priority for God because that's the priority behind one of those Ten Commandments. Which commandment is it that has life as the top priority? Thou shalt not kill. That's the reason for that. And of course, we shouldn't do things that could lead to a life that is cut short as well. And so that's why the Bible is full of health laws. Laws even concerning quarantines when there's infectious illnesses going around. And so physical life in particular seems to be the United States' top priority in this crisis. And I applaud them because that definitely should be a top priority. I think it's also clear that mental health is not necessarily as top a priority as physical health for this nation. Why do I say that? As a result of what has transpired and how it's been relayed, obsessive compulsive disorder is skyrocketing. Anxiety rates skyrocketing. Panic disorder at an all-time high. Fear of the future. Is it a fever pitch for many as a result of this crisis? But there doesn't seem to be much attempt to try to allay those fears at this point, because we think those fears are warranted enough to help people to do the right thing to prevent the spread of the disease that could cause physical harm. And so, that's mental health is not necessarily, it's certainly not a higher priority than physical health, is what we have learned in this whole ordeal. We've also learned that maybe even spiritual health in America isn't as top priority maybe as physical health because of some of the things that are taking place potentially in regards to gathering and spiritual gatherings. Even the general conference session is not being held. And of course, that's the priority of physical health. But it still will be held later. It's just as Don mentioned in the video, this is a time of separation, but we expect a time of coming together shortly thereafter. We don't know how short it's going to be. And I think there should be, in regards to physical health, do you think there should be something of a greater priority? Spiritual health should be a greater priority. In fact, what I would recommend, open your Bibles to Ephesians, if you have them. Many of you are watching online tonight. I imagine we may have more that watch this program, either live or afterwards, than those who are here tonight. And so what I would like you to consider is when you're under house arrest, when you are just at home and can't really go anywhere except to maybe the grocery store for necessary food or to see if they have received toilet paper, I would encourage you, first of all, during this time when you are at your homes, to not keep up with the latest in COVID-19. Those statistics change hour by hour. They change day by day. But learning more about those statistics isn't going to really help you or help society for you to know about that. And there are people that are glued to their screens with trying to figure out which state is going to do what California did. And of course, you know, we recognize often America gets driven by the Bay Area. Whatever goes in the Bay Area goes to all of California, and that's what happened. And then what goes to California ends up going to the other states. And we've seen that follow suit in regards to how this crisis has been handled. But that's really in a good way in order to protect us. But we don't need to figure out if Oklahoma is going to be next, or if Texas, or what different specific laws they're going to do, or those type of things, or to try to see the latest in regards to the crisis of the epidemic. If we were really that interested in society and what's going on in regards to the trauma of society, at this point, there's still more people dying of the flu than COVID-19. I can tell you there's an epidemic in Auburn of the human metapneumovirus that's putting people in ICU. Media's not reporting on that. They're not interested in that. But there are things that are far more spreading right now in our society than COVID-19. Now, we recognize that's an impending issue. But we don't necessarily keep up with all the deaths that are occurring in the hospital and want to hear about those or those type of things. If we can do something about it, yes. But to be glued to our screens at this time with fear and panic is only going to actually cause us to have more problems. And it's going to adversely affect our lives in the future. So what should we do instead? I would recommend turning off the screens. And I would recommend setting your affections on things above. Ephesians, let's see, where is that portion? I should have written it down. Where Paul says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Maybe some of the theology students can help me here. It's Colossians 3, not Ephesians 3. Thank you. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then, being risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And during the time when you're home, you have perfect opportunity to set your affections on things above. You may have been too busy with your work, too busy with your school, with the traveling and things like that. Even if you're in school now, you don't have to travel if you've got Wi-Fi and good Wi-Fi at home. And so use that extra time to try to prioritize what we should be prioritizing. And we're told, actually, we would do better to spend a thoughtful what? A thoughtful hour each day learning from Christ. And I recommend that you do that first thing in the morning. Even Christ, when he was here, we're told that his first priority, he would rise up a great while before day, go out into where?
A solitary
place, and there pray. Yes, he had the Word of God. He had it in his mind. And he would recite that Word while praying, claiming those promises, and having the Lord communicate with him through his Word and through his Spirit. And God desires to do that with each one of us. And so I think that really should be a top priority. Getting rid of the screens in setting our affections on things above. And by the way, going into a solitary place, one of the things I've noticed in this whole aspect of things, in fact, probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I'll say it anyways. I'm pretty transparent, as many of you know. But we have a son and daughter-in-law down in Loma Linda, and because her specialty is, she's actually specializing in orthopedics, physical therapy orthopedics. She's a physical therapist, and now she's getting a specialty in orthopedics. The elective surgeries have all ceased. You know, the knee surgeries, the elective shoulder surgeries, all that. And that's what you're working on in physical therapy and orthopedics, a lot of it. And so all of a sudden, there aren't any patients to do physical therapy on, or very few in comparison. So she was told she had to take mandatory 2 weeks off. And they're down in a little apartment building. And my son was saying, isn't there a way you can fly your plane down here and pick us up and take us up to Northern California so that we can live with you for a couple of weeks? And this occurred last night, and the edict was just there that you're not allowed to travel except for food. Or, interestingly, you can, and my son Justin, who really wants to see his older brother Nathan, started looking over the edict there and said, hiking trails. You can go to hiking trails. And so if they ask you why you're going down there, tell them you're going down there to hike. I noticed yesterday Stevens Trail was packed. That parking lot was packed. Since people aren't able to go to work, some of them are going outside. And they're hiking the trails. By the way, I hiked the trails here today at Weimar. What we did is we actually moved to Weimar, Justin and I, last night. So we're living here on campus at the Weimar Inn right now. And so our hiking trails are right here instead of up in the mountains. And there was a lot of people on those hiking trails today. Nobody from the campus that I recognized, but a whole lot of people from off campus. We are allowing them to hike the trails as long as they keep to the social distancing and not go into any places where they could contaminate things. So after you rub against a tree or grab onto a tree out there, you may want to wash your hands when you come back home. Nature is something the government did not actually nullify. They canceled the competitive sports, but they didn't cancel nature things. And you know, the national parks, I checked, they're all open, even here in California. And so, you know, you're allowed to go to nature aspects and hike. And I would encourage you to get your exercise on the trails, get the fresh air that way, and actually go into solitary places and set your affections on things above. It's a lot easier to do in nature, and that's one of the things I would encourage everybody to do. So let's prioritize exercise. Studies show, as far as getting exercise is concerned, 8 minutes of vigorous exercise a day is helpful, but it goes exponentially more and more helpful until you get to an hour. And it's still helpful if you go to 2 and 3 hours, more so than one, but it's linear at that point. It's not exponential. And so I would encourage you at least an hour during this time when you're homebound. Don't just stay at home. Get out and get some good exercise. And also, I would encourage exercise as far as planting, maybe even a garden. You know, on the 6 days thou shalt labor, don't just stay inside. By the way, I would recommend you do something inside if you're not at work and if you're not at school, and that is reorganize your house. Get it clean and organized. Some people put that off because of all the intensity. This is a good time during this time to reorganize the house. But it's also a good time to reorganize the outdoors of your house. And planting a garden, cultivating flowers, it's springtime. Beautiful weather is here. And that can also help us in regards to our mental health and our physical health as well. And then I would also encourage you, if you're home, and by the way, if you're seeing some of the audience here, some people might be alarmed because not everyone is staying to the 6 feet rule. But did you know you actually don't have to stay to the 6 feet rule if it's your household family? And this is something the government made clear. If you are going home to sleep with your wife, you don't have to sleep 6 feet apart. neither do you have to be away from your kids. In fact, I would encourage you, we just expanded the Weimar campus. Some people left and some people came to the Weimar campus, but there is a newborn that came on the Weimar campus. He had to answer those questions. Does he have any symptoms of the COVID virus? He says, I don't even know what that is. He was asked if he had been around anybody who had the COVID virus, and he didn't know that answer either. But his mother answered it for him, and that is Janelle Nanasi. And we have someone who's not even a day old, born at 5:30 this morning. And do you think social distancing applies to him and his mother? Absolutely not. In fact, if the government mandates that, that's government's gone awry. That's when you can actually disobey the government for the life of your young child. And so if you are in families, and of course some of you are in a family environment, such as a room with a couple of people, and it's really kind of impossible to stay away from that 6 feet, then you don't have to follow the social distancing rule. But if they aren't part of your immediate family, then we do need to follow that rule. But I would encourage you, when you are at home with your families, and you put a basket around, whether it's in the dorm, whether it's in a group home, whether it's in your family home, and collect all the devices for hours a day, where you can actually use this time to connect with your family. Connect with the people that are closest to you. And disconnect from the screens now. Use this time to disconnect and connect with each other in ways that can be meaningful and can enhance our life. So I'd just like to see, those are a few thoughts from, and I might have a few more, but we have a roving microphone this evening. And I'd like to just see if you guys have any priorities or any recommendations for those that are watching as far as what else they can do to prioritize during this quarantine time and self-quarantining. Anyone want to raise their hand and give some others some advice? Yes, in the back there. And I see, even though it's not his wife, he's not social distancing from her.
Well, I would recommend taking a good book like The Great Controversy, or somebody was sharing from the Mount of Blessings, but I recommend The Great Controversy specifically because I've heard a lot of strange ideas around campus about what's going to happen because of this whole virus thing. And we need to, while this is very serious and it's a sign of the end, we need to be diligent students of the Word and of the Spirit of prophecy so that we are not saying things that are not true or exaggerating the truth or making false predictions, because She's actually very clear about how things are going to go and how the people are going to rise up and they're going to call for certain things. It's not going to be... So that would be my recommendation. We have this time, like you were saying, and that'd be a good book to reread or maybe read for the first time if you haven't read The Great Controversy. It sheds light on what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and it brings peace with many good promises and points us back to the Word of God. So that's a recommendation.
Great. Yes, I can definitely concur with that. You know, in a way, this is kind of a minor pestilence in comparison to some of the pestilences that took place in the Bible. You know, do you remember the pestilence that swept through Israel? Anyone remember the background of that? Yeah, it was at David's time. And David was given three choices. He was given... And it was actually as a result of errors of judgment in his leadership that went directly contrary to the Word of God. And of course, this is something that is fearful for all leaders. We need to know what the Word of God says, and we need to be following it. But when we think that we've become a leader that we can totally, directly violate a commandment of the Lord, we're in trouble, and we're putting a lot of other people in trouble too. And David did violate a commandment of the Lord. And he was given three choices: famine for 3 years, war for 3 months, where he would be overtaken by his enemies, or a pestilence. You know what he chose? He chose the pestilence. And that pestilence came. Do you know how many people? The pestilence lasted 3 days, 70,000 dead. 70,000 dead. Coronavirus has not killed 70,000 yet, and it certainly hasn't done it in 3 days. And for a small nation of Israel, this was a major, major pestilence. And the Lord stopped it in his mercy. It could have been even more severe than that. And so this is, some people are thinking this means that the fact that this is happening, that the end is here. Now, we're told there's going to be some worse things happening in this world. That's why it's good to read books like The Great Controversy. Read books like the book of Revelation. Look at the plagues. This is nothing compared to any of those plagues. And those plagues are coming on this earth. And it's actually the message of the three angels that can help everybody in this earth avoid those plagues. We're wanting to make sure everyone hears the CDC's recommendation on avoiding coronavirus, but do you think it's more important to avoid coronavirus or avoid one of those seven last plagues? Yes, it's far more important to avoid those plagues. And that's why the spiritual health is indeed crucial as this time goes on. So yeah, I would encourage you during this time, get out a book that you haven't read in a while, or a book that you've been wanting to read that's something that is very going to draw you closer to God, is going to help you to connect with God, like The Great Controversy, like Patriarchs and Prophets. If you don't know the Bible very well and you're just watching on the internet, I would encourage you to go through. It's pretty simple and fun. The Amazing Facts Study Guides, and complete the Amazing Facts Bible Study Course. And it'll really open your eyes, and it will help you to connect with God. And so thank you for that, Bailey. Anyone else want to give someone some counsel in regards to what to do during this time?
sorry, I'm trying to figure this out. Something I was talking to a friend about today that kind of hit me is that, you know, oftentimes our society is very disconnected in our families because people are busy, they're working, and right now people are being forced to spend time together as families in their homes. And it's kind of ironic, but it can be quite a blessing. And I think even for, you know, as dorm students, but especially for those staying at home with their families, it's an opportune time to maybe reestablish connections or mend relationships, or just, you know, even for dorm students, having a little more time to maybe make a phone call or something that can really be a blessing.
Thank you very much, Jenna. You know, the holiday that is most associated with family time in this country, actually there's two that compete with it, but it's Thanksgiving and Christmas. But it's often been said the reason why the day after Thanksgiving is the busiest shopping day of the year is because people can't stand to be around their families for more than one day. And the second busiest shopping day of the year is the day after Christmas. And so one day, and they've had enough. And now, this gives us an opportunity to have weeks with our family without going out. And that actually, I like what you say, Jenna, that's a positive thing. If there are issues, this is the time to deal with those core issues, to undergo what those core issues might be in regards to families, because healthy families make for healthy minds and healthy bodies. And that's why that fifth commandment, which has to do with families, is actually the only one with a promise in regards to longevity. And so, yes, and maybe as a group, even do some spiritual times together. Have worship time on a regular basis. Have some good discussion of things. And again, don't have the phones interrupt you on an important conversation. Empathy, in fact, there's been studies doing on this. If you have a phone and you're in an important conversation, your perceived empathy goes down significantly, particularly when you check your phone in the middle of that because someone just texted you something. And so that actually disrupts that connectiveness that we really could take advantage of this time for that. So thank you very much, Jenna. Anyone else? All right, thank you.
I think one thing that we can also do is look at opportunities of things that we can do. Because I was thinking today about Paul and how he wrote like a lot of the New Testament when he was like confined. And things like that, I think people are a lot more willing to hear about things and listen to things that we have to say concerning like the time of the end and spiritual things, because people are kind of in a state of change or panic or kind of shock. And so in that, they're ready to make more adjustments in their own lives as well. So I think it's an opportunity for us to share.
Yeah, great suggestion there. And it is a great opportunity to share more with others. People are very much looking for counsel in regards to this whole crisis that we're in. I know friends I haven't heard from for years have found my text thing, and they're asking me questions and wanting counsel. It's even individuals who may before, these were old acquaintances in Ardmore, Oklahoma, who were not philosophically aligned with me. It's surprising how much they're wanting my wisdom and counsel, despite the non-philosophical alignment during this time. And it's actually at a time in which they are willing to listen and to be able to receive counsel. And this is really a great preparation, you know, for greater crises to come. You know, if we can't run with the footmen, how are we going to run with the horses? And so this is, it's not like what Paul had. Paul was in prison, you know. We're being confined to our houses. And there's a lot of prisoners who would love to be confined to their houses only. But he was in prison behind bars in a very uncomfortable environment But yet, even what we wrote here, read here tonight, would probably not have been written had it had he not been confined and in prison, and his wisdom and counsel continue on to this day. Thank you. Anybody else here in the? Okay. Yes.
I was just reading through some of the songs we sing oftentimes. You know, the stories behind those songs. Most of the songs we love to sing in church and the hymns were written by people in times of profound stress or in times where they weren't, you know, just living their daily life the way they normally did. And I was struck by that because, you know, like Nick was saying, you know, it's important to share what we're learning, what we're studying, what we're reading, you know, if we have time to do those things. And I think one of the ways that we can do that is through song and then through writing songs and writing mm-hmm. poetry, you know, engaging in the arts in a way that I think that we don't normally have time to do.
Great. Yeah, I love that suggestion as well. Poetry during these times. I can tell you, if any of you write a good poem regarding the coronavirus and your experience with it, you'll have, you know, far more readers than if you would have written it at another time. And so I would encourage you to think about that and have the meter in such a way that it might be able to go along with one of those hymns, too. You can put a different, you know, there's all sorts of different meters. You can look in the hymnal and see that in regards to the rhythm aspect of things and then line it up with a tune, and then those words come alive. And that could last all the way to the time of the end. And so, yeah, I like that.
I think lots of people are scared. In fact, I know lots of people are scared. I took a flight during spring break to the East Coast, and people all along the trip were talking about the present, what was happening, who couldn't find food at the store, what their mother was planning to do in the future or in the near future. It's all about the present, all about the near future, all about the future. And people were scared. But I think during this time, one of the things we need to do is remember. Mm-hmm. Look at the past. See what God has done for us in the past. Maybe not necessarily in epidemics, but how has he brought us through difficulties? What has he taught us? And how has that prepared us for the things we need to do right now? I think that's important.
Yes. Great perspective there. Often our minds are in the present and not so much in the future. And I could see that very much in regards to the when I was reading the Chronicle with all of the students' complaints from other colleges and universities where they were just thinking about the present. And this time's going to pass, you know. They are going to be able to graduate. They are going to be able to obtain their achievement goals. And it might even be, maybe unlikely, it might even be on time. And they might even be able to have people there. You know, we don't know. It's kind of too early in all of this. But if not, those things are going to eventually pass. And this will just be a little blip along the road, but let's use this blip to focus our priorities. Thank you, John. Yes.
Something that someone mentioned this past week was the impact of empathy in this time, because everyone's just thinking about themselves. What do I need? What do I need to do to prepare and to not be left without, you know, supplies and things like that? And I think it's important to take some time to look at what others need and how we can help those around us, even if we are confined to our homes. How can we bless others through the internet, through, you know, not posting things and sending things that are tearing people down, but that are actually building people up?
Great, yes. What can we do? This isn't just about us. It's not just about our families, but how can we show empathy to humanity as a whole? And in more ways than just social distancing. That's one of the ways of demonstrating empathy to the rest of society. But it is, there's so much more that we can do. And thanks for that reminder, Nadia. Anybody else? Any advice that you'd want to give? Maybe even your fellow students who made the choice for more distance education than what you're receiving. Any advice for others that may be attuned in and experiencing this confinement? And maybe advice for those who are not confined as well. You know, there's a few people that are going to be busier during this time. According to the statistics, hospitalists are going to be extremely busy when this surge hits. And they're going to be probably short of sleep and in the intensity, and there's probably not enough personnel and equipment to do all of this. And so they're going to be stressed on the other end. But I would encourage you, if you're in that group where you're more stressed out as a result of your workload increasing as a result of this, that you still keep the priorities in mind of setting your affections on things above every day, still going out and getting physical exercise every day, and taking time for rest. And that rest includes trusting in God's overall providence. And even the intense workers, you're imbalanced if you're an intense worker and not doing those three things. You're not doing devotions, not doing exercise, not getting enough time for sleep. Those are the big three that I look at in regards to, am I starting to get imbalanced in my life? And it's a quick threesome that you can look at there. Yes.
I think another important aspect would be trying to make sure you're not just entertaining yourself, especially if you're in isolation all day, and we all know that that can really take a toll on your mental health if you're in isolation and spending all of your time on entertainment. So I would say it's important to try and educate yourself apart from your work or apart from stuff like that, and the Bible is definitely the best place to do that. But it would be nice to work on projects or have something that you're working on the side.
Great. And so limit your self-entertainment. In fact, I would encourage you to not do screen entertainment. Maybe be entertaining yourself by seeing a new trail, actually learning a new skill. Those are things that can be entertaining. Learning can be enjoyable when we're interested in it. But don't just go through YouTube after YouTube of entertainment or go through those social media accounts. Time goes by very quickly, and you feel very empty when it's all over with. And you haven't taken those precious moments to enhance yourself in the ways that we're talking about here today, which could be a tremendous boost for our future. Well, thank you for your contribution tonight to being under house arrest. And I know all of us, in a way, here are under house arrest. But instead of focusing in on the fact that we can't do what we want to do when we want to do it, let's focus in on these things. And God can tremendously bless us even during this time of crisis.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.